for many long years. I've traveled this road, and I've grown so weary of carrying my load. Old Satan has tempted with his wicked devices, but I can't turn back now, 'cause I'm almost home. And I'm almost home. I'm almost home. And I know that my race, it's almost run. Through the troubles and the trials that I've already come, well, I can't turn back now, 'cause I'm almost home. Woo! Oh, that river, that homeland I'll see, there's a beautiful place, it's prepared just for me. Just a few more days to labor, and we'll go across. Well, I know what awaits me. It's gonna be worth it all. And I'm almost home. I'm almost home. And I know that my race, it's almost run. Through the troubles and the trials that we've already come, well, I can't turn back now, 'cause I'm almost home. When I stand at that river, that homeland I'll see, there's a beautiful place, he's prepared just for me. Now just a few more days to labor, I'll go across, and I know what awaits me. It's gonna be worth, and I'm almost home. And I know that my race, it's almost run. Through the troubles and the trials that I've already come, well, I can't turn back now, 'cause I'm almost home. For many long years I've traveled this road. Well, I've grown so weary of carrying my load. The old Satan has tempted with many devices, but I can't turn back now. I'm almost home. Well, I'm almost home. And I'm almost home. And I know that my race, it's almost run. Through the troubles and the trials that I've already come. Woo! Well, I can't turn back now, 'cause I'm almost home. Turn to the book of James, book of Hebrews, James.
Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. The book of James, the very first chapter of the book of James. Thank you, Jesus. Book of James, chapter number 1. And you know, I want to start here with a little bit short verse that is not where I'm trying to preach from tonight, but my, I hope you hear what the Bible says here. James chapter number 1, verse number 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. That's kind of short and to the point, isn't it? Come on now. Verse number 17. James 1 and 17. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, glory, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Let's read it again. Every good gift and every perfect gift cometh from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Lord, I praise you and thank you, Lord. Oh, Lord, for the church of truth. I praise you and thank you, Lord, for Pastor. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would bless tonight, Lord. Give me the right words to say, Lord. Oh, for every soul in the pews tonight, God. Oh, God, I pray. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And the church said amen. Thank God, thank God. I was telling you Saturday night, Pastor Prescott allowed us to be here. I'm so glad he did. And I was telling you my testimony. And I quit preaching when I was in a nursing home. And I told you about my condition of being there in the nursing home. And that was right exactly 11 years ago. And I was in my wheelchair. My left side was partially paralyzed, completely useless. My eyes were 90-something percent blind. My mouth was wired shut. I was in pain all over. Now, I was 29. My wife was 23. We had 2-year-old and 4-year-old children. And so the hospital understood that I had to be cared for as a child, and they had plans of continuing the medicine and so forth, and they did not feel like that my wife could in any way take care of me back at the house. And so they called her to the room and explained that to her and had me put in the nursing home. And now the nursing home administration, they see that I'm still in that condition. And Missy, my wife, was praying back at the house, and the Spirit of the Lord gave her a visitation. And the Spirit of the Lord gave her a gift! Glory! I'm going to tell you something, friend. One of the greatest things about living on this earth as a Christian over being a sinner is the fact that man born of women, and I assume all of you, your mom was a woman. Man born of woman is just a few days and full of trouble. I am not preaching a doctrine tonight that if you're saved, you ain't never going to have trouble. Come on here now. We all have life just a few days and it's full of trouble. Oh, but could I tell you the difference? Come on now. Whenever you've got Jesus on your side, He is the giver of good gifts. And everything you need, He takes care of. Woo! Spirit dealt with Missy. She came to the nursing home and told the administration there that the Lord had spoken to her heart to sign me out of the nursing home and take me back to the house, that the Lord told her that if she'd take me to church, he's going to heal me. Well, you know, those folks don't speak our language. And they didn't understand that, and brother, they sure didn't agree with it. Come on now. And they began to explain to her that that just couldn't happen, that that's not the way things are, and that she was not in any position to be taking me home, and that they told her that she should not do that. And so she said, well, my family has all, I've already talked to them, they've said that I do have the legal right to sign him out. So they called in the attorneys, and the attorneys wrote out the paperwork that she must sign. Now I'm talking about the Lord gave her what she needed. The Lord gave her a gift of faith. That paperwork explains that she is voluntarily going against all medical advice, and that if I do not live, she is liable for my death. My friends, I'm just going to tell you, I don't know that I've ever had that much faith that I could have done what she did. But the Lord gives you just what you need when you need it. Come on now. And oh, my friend, I'm not talking just about money or something. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where no one can see and no one can hear. No one knows what you're thinking. No one knows what's going on in your mind and in your heart. But the Lord knows your very thoughts. He knows your good intentions, amen? And oh, my friend, if you're trying to live for the Lord and you're trying to do what's right, the Lord is going to give you just what you need when you need it. Woo! And so she signed me out of the nursing home and took me home. Well, some of the church folk, we lived in the house next door to the church, and they had gotten a hospital bed, brought it into the living room there, and that's where I was spending all my time, laying there in that hospital bed in the living room. And understand with me, friends, that it matters what you're thinking in your life. Come on now. You remember that little lady that had the issue of blood, Pastor Prescott, wasn't it for 12 years that she had the issue of blood? And she said within herself, if I could but touch the hem of this, just touch him. Just touch him. Come on now. It matters what you're thinking. Amen? Woo! Oh, my friend, I am so sad to admit that there is a problem whenever you spend too much time thinking about your problems. That's a problem. Come on now. Oh, my friend, I want you to know that we've all got troubles and we've all got problems. Come on now. And I'm so sorry that I've had problems and got problems. And I'm so sorry that you've got problems. But I'm just going to tell you, friend, let's not spend all of our time talking and worrying and thinking about our problems. Let's do our best to keep going. You remember that great man Elijah and how that he prayed that wonderful short prayer and how that God sent fire out of heaven. Come on now. Just to prove that Elijah's God is God. That's a man of faith. That's a man that had a connection with God. Amen? But notice the very next prayer that God chose for us to know that Elijah prayed. He was praying, Lord, let me die. Just let me die! How in the world did that great man that had such a wonderful relationship with God, how did he get to the place that he would cry and pray such a prayer? I'll tell you how, friends. He prayed that sitting there under the juniper tree, just sitting there thinking. He prayed that there in the mouth of the cave, just hiding out, not doing anything. My friend, as bad and as hard as life will come against us, we've got to keep on going. We've got to just go, go, go. Come on now. Oh, my friend, when you sit down just to think about things, things is going to get worse. I'll tell you, I didn't choose just to lay there. I could not help it. But in hindsight, me and my wife have talked about it. What we should have done was had holiness preaching tapes, preaching and singing all the time, right there where I was at. That's what we should have done. But that's not what we did. They was trying to keep it, you know, quiet and restful for me. And I laid there thinking about my condition. My kids would come down and play all around me. Caleb was 4 and he'd talk to me. And that just make me think. I'm never going to be able to hug my boy again. I'm never going to be able to talk to him where he can understand. I'm never going to see my kids again. And in my pain, I just had too much time to think. Come on here now. Come on here now. Oh, let me find that scripture. I wrote it down here. The Bible says, where is it at here? I don't have it. It's in Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4, the Bible said in verse number 7, and the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now this verse, he is simply telling us that the peace of God is way more than we can understand. It will keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. But then he makes us aware that it matters for him to accomplish this, what we've got in our minds. Come on now. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. Woo! Hey, church, I'm just preaching to you tonight that you ought to just do your best not to just center your mind on what's wrong, but think on the good things of God. Think on the good things of God. Woo! Well, Elijah fell into that pit of despair, that horrible deep place of despair. My friends, me and you are blessed to live in the last days. A whole lot of things have changed upon this earth from now to back in Elijah's day. Now what the Bible spoke of is that low, that pit, that horrible place the Bible referred to as despair. Today has a medical term. It is called depression. My friend, the doctors and the medicine companies have found when they put certain chemicals together that it will help you forget that you've got problems and troubles for a few moments. Come on now. But I want you to know, my friend, we're not fighting flesh and blood. We're in a battle. It's a spiritual battle. Despair and depression is not a physical problem. Come on now. If you've got an ache in your left finger and you take a Tylenol for it, I'm not going to preach against you. That's between you and the Lord if you take that. But hey, I am going to tell you this. It is not God's will for us to take antidepressants, nerve medicines, things that have spiritually got us tore up. It's not man's medicine that's going to solve the problem. Come on now. And oh, my friend, don't you know the bottle's going to get empty? Don't you know you're going to need some more of it? Come on now. And oh, my friend, the insurance, the money doesn't always come as quick as you want it to. And oh, brother, I've seen several very good folks that have gotten bound, that have gotten addicted, that have gotten bound by the chains of prescription medicine. Come on here now. Oh, my friend, I want you to know that with all of this on my mind, I fell into that pit of despair, that place of depression. I don't like talking about it, but I just feel the Holy Ghost tonight, and I need to say a little bit about it. My friend, I remember one particular night, just as if it was the last night, I remember it well. I laid there. I wasn't falling asleep. The house was quiet. I wish it wouldn't have been. I wish they'd had a preacher tape on now, but the house was quiet. Oh, my friend, I fell down in that pit of despair so deep that I prayed to the best of my ability. Oh, God! Why did you restore my life if you're going to make me live like this? Lord, everybody's glad that I'm not dead. But Lord, have mercy. I'm bedfast, wheelchair bound. I can't see. I can't talk. I can't think right. I'm in pain. I don't want to live like this. Just let me die. Scared every time I think of it. But my friend, I beg God to just let me die. I'm so glad He doesn't answer prayers prayed amiss. I'm so glad He knows me better than I know me. I'm so glad that He knows deep down inside of me and He is touched by the feelings of my infirmity. Come on now. Oh, my friend, thank God for my mom. Thank God for my dad. Thank God for Pastor Miller. Thank God for my wife. Thank God for all my friends. Oh, but I want you to know there's sometimes nobody can understand me, not even my own little brother Dwayne. Oh, but I've got a friend that's sticking closer than a brother. He knows where I'm at. He knows how I'm feeling. Hey, He knows. He's touched by the feelings of our infirmity. Oh, my friend. It was early the next morning. I had laid awake all night begging God to just let me die. I didn't want to live like this. The telephone rang. My wife answered the phone and came in with the cordless telephone. And we have a preacher friend from Falk, Arkansas. I don't know if Brother Ben Shaw is his name, if he's ever been through this part of the country. But it was Brother Shaw on the telephone. She brought the phone to me and she said, "Doug, it's Brother Shaw. He said he's got something he has to tell you." She put the phone to my ear and the best I could, "Oh." He said, "Brother Doug, it's Brother Ben. I was down praying this morning and the Lord spoke to me. He told me to get up and come to the phone and call you and tell you there's no reason for you to be depressed. You've got hope." Woo! You've got hope! Could I stop right there for a moment and tell you, friend, if you're here tonight and you're not saved, being unsaved, there is no hope. Without the grace of God, there is no hope. Come on now. That is why that you will never hear the pastor talk about poor brother so-and-so or sister so-and-so that took their life last night. Oh, but open up your newspaper, my friend, and see it right here in the greater Martinsville area. I guarantee it that there are folks that are committing suicide because they realize they have no hope in this world. It's not going to get no better. And so they would rather be dead and they kill themselves. Oh, but to those that have found that peace that passeth all understanding, found in grace, I joyfully tell you tonight, you've got hope! Woo! Brother Shaw said, Doug, the Lord told me to tell you, you're going to preach again. Ain't no reason to be so down. You know, I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm very thankful that I know what Brother Shaw said. Me and him have talked about it many times since then. But I wasn't half listening to him. While he was talking to me, saying those words, I felt an awesome presence of the Lord. I'll just tell you, I felt like Jesus walked through my closed door and walked over to my bedside, stretched forth his hand, and said, "Peace be unto you." Woo! And when the Lord says peace, there is a peace, my friend, that goes so much further than what any psychiatrist, what any medicine, what any friend could ever give you. There is a peace that passeth all understanding. I'm glad for the peace of God. Woo! I'm thinking about those disciples on that boat. How the Lord had said, "Let us go over to the other side." They got out there on the water, and you know there was a great storm of wind. The ship was now full of water. Oh, my friend, they thought they were going to perish. Things was looking awful bad, and they were very scared. I don't know who it was that finally said, "Well, where's Jesus?" They found him asleep in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. He's not worried. Come on now, come on now. And oh, my friend, they said, "Carest thou not that we perish?" And the Lord lovingly rebuked them. And he come out of there, and he simply said, "Peace, be still." Woo! Oh, I love those next words. And the wind ceased. There was a great calm. Glory! Now, I am nowhere. I might be up to a fraction. What's the smallest fraction you can have, Brother Peach? I might be up that much. Compare my Bible knowledge to Pastor Prescott. But I will tell you this. I think Brother Prescott will agree with me. That boat that is now full of water. And when the Lord said, "Peace be still," but the next verse, you know, of course that verse says there was a great calm. But the next verse doesn't say Jesus picked up the boat and pulled the drain plug and let the water out. Doesn't say that. I must assume that that boat was still full of water. Come on. Come on now. I don't know how they got the water out. It wasn't easy. I don't know how long it took them to get the water out, but I do know this. They had peace. There was a great calm. My friend, I don't understand that. You don't understand that. That's a peace that passeth all understanding. Whenever Missy came back and got the telephone, I was still blind. I was still crippled. I was still in so much pain. I was still so confused in many ways. But yet I remember my first question. "Hey, Missy, the best I could talk, what is today? Is it Sunday?" Because I couldn't wait to get to church. My friend, I still had problems. Still do. Come on. But I've got peace. I've got peace. I am not telling you tonight that the Lord has spoken to me, that whoever comes up here and prays tonight, when you get up and go home, the electric company's got good news for you. Ain't no more bills. All the mortgages, all the payments, everything's taken care of. I'm not telling you that. But I am telling you this. No matter how terrible that home back there is, no matter how bad that situations in your life is, I am promising you this. The Lord wants to speak peace to your soul tonight. And when the Lord speaks peace, you'll have a smile on your face even when the boat's full of water. Woo! You'll be glad you're saved. You'll be ready to face another day. You'll realize you've got hope. Amen? And oh, my friend, I can't explain that. Even if I could, we couldn't understand it, because that is a peace that passes all understanding, and I'm glad for it. Woo! Let me go just a little bit further tonight and tell you, I'm going to not preach long, I promise you. I'm going to try not to preach long, I promise you. The greatest miracle that the Lord did for me during all of my injuries and all of this time, I have no doubt in my mind, it was that He delivered me from depression. Come on now. I have a wonderful friend down in Wachula, Florida, Ricky Staten, living in a wheelchair. A terrible car accident. We're the same age. You can live in a wheelchair and you can be happy. I don't want to, and I know you don't want to, but we can live that way. Come on. Oh, thank God, down in Mobile, Alabama. Wait, what's his name, Caleb? Brother Keith, is it? The blind brother down there at I forget the pastor's name, but it's down there. Dice, Brother Dice. Oh, let me tell you, my friend, he's blind. He's one of the happiest fellows I ever met. I'm telling you, he can do things with that piano that makes me think, Lord, have mercy. That can't be him doing that, but he's doing it. I'm telling you, hey, you can live and be happy with trouble. But if you're depressed tonight, if you're fighting things that I can't see, if you're fighting things on the inside of you, the only thing that's going to deliver you is the name of Jesus. Good news! His arm has not been shortened. Neither is his ear heavy. It can reach all the way down in the pit of despair. Woo! I want to tell you that the worst pain of all of these injuries that I had was my jaw was broken from joint to joint many times. I don't know if it was ever counted how many breaks, but the doctor used the description that it was crushed. And so they took metal wires, ran them down to my gums, wrapped around my tooth, and my upper gum around the tooth, and my lower gum around the tooth. They sewed my mouth together shut with metal wires. And they done this hoping that with time it would just grow back together and the bones would start growing back together. And they talked about that they would probably have to surgically repair it if I ever gained the strength to go through surgery. And so the only way that I could eat for several months was what would come through a straw that I could get through some broken teeth. I was hungry all the time. Don't you believe it? Inshore, after about 1,000 cups, is not good. I was just so hungry. I was so weak. They was trying to teach me to walk with a walker. And they was trying to teach me, they called it therapy, and I'm thankful for all those that tried to help me. They would hold my hand up, you know, and say, no, I'm three, I'm going to let go, don't you let it fall. And, oh, it would hurt so bad. It was just a constant thing that they was doing. And I was so weak. I lost much weight, 65 pounds. I was very weak. I was very hungry. And my jaw just ached all the time. Well, I decided one day I was going to get my jaw opened. It didn't matter what I had to do. I was going to get it open. I took, I don't remember if it was a fork or a knife or what it was, but I put it there where that tooth was broken. And I yanked and I pulled. Trying my best to get those wires to release or break or something. I couldn't tell that when I did that, that it had moved, anything had changed. But it just started hurting so badly. It started hurting so badly that my good wife, she took me back over across the Mississippi River into Missouri to where the specialist was that had sewn it together. And he done x-rays and he came out as if you needed a PhD, you know, to know this. He came out with those x-rays and he said, I know what's been going on. You've been trying to open your mouth. You caught me, doctor. And I was just in so much pain and so weak and just so tired of being that way, so hungry. Well, he said, I'm going to solve the problem that you're not going to do this no more. You've moved those bones that a lot of them are out of place. He said, I'm going to get them all back into place. And then I'm going to tighten those wires. He said, I'm going to tighten them. So tight, you will never be able to do this again. And he did. I have never in my life felt that much pain. When he tightened those wires, beyond the hunger, beyond just the aching, beyond the weakness, it was excruciating pain in my jaw. And oh, I just began to weep with the pain. And yes, he gave us prescriptions for the pain, and I am not here to judge you. It was just my decision that I chose not to take the pain medicine, and all the pain was so severe. And my wife said, well, what we'll do, we'll go back to Cincinnati, some 7 hours away. She said, we'll go to the home church. There you'll be with your friends and family. That always makes you feel better. And they can pray for you. The Lord will take away this pain. And so, we had church on Saturday night. Those holiness people gathered around, prayed for me. But nothing seemed to change. Sunday morning now, everybody in the church house realized while I was home, what was going on. They wasted no time. Brother Peach, they got around me and they prayed and they cried, begging God to take away my pain. But nothing seemed to change. Sunday night, same thing. Monday morning, we was at Brother and Sister Miller's house. Getting ready, they had me all dressed and ready to, had me there in my chair, ready to go back to Illinois. Missy was back in her old bedroom praying. She came out and she said, Doug, the Lord spoke to me. I feel like that we shouldn't go back to Illinois yet. I need to take you to church again and have you prayed for again before we head back to Illinois. Well, my friend, first of all, I quit arguing with Missy because I just can't win. And second of all, I was in so much pain, I wanted somebody to touch heaven. I wanted somebody to touch heaven. Come on now. Oh, Pastor, can you get me Ephesians chapter number 3 and verse number 20? Ephesians 3 and 20. And oh, my friend, the only, you know, no one has church on Monday nights. And the Taylor Mill Church across the river, where Brother Clifton Gallagher is pastor, it was their annual homecoming week. Brother Ralph Horton from here in Virginia was preaching their homecoming. And so that's where we went to church at Monday night. And they brought me in late because I was so in so much pain as afraid. I couldn't stand 2 or 3 hours of service. So they brought me in late. And because of my foolishness, I didn't want to be in my wheelchair. And so my buddy went with me, Richard. He put my paralyzed leg on his, hit my foot on his foot, my arm around him and held on to it. Carried me like that. And I could move my right side and took me in that way. We came in just before the preaching. Sit down back here in the back. Brother Horton preached, having no idea who was going to be there that night. And the Lord, he felt like, had given him a very special message that night, having enough faith to have victory. And oh, he preached wonderful. And I want the pastor to read that verse for me tonight. Read that verse for me.
Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us.
Glory! Well, Brother Horton was preaching. He said, well, the Lord just spoke to me that we need to go back there and pray for Brother Doug. Now, Brother Horton, you could look at me and see that I needed prayer. Now, that was obvious. But understand, he had not seen me nor talked to me since the accident. And you could not just look and tell anything that was going on with my mouth other than it was shut all the time. And he had no idea why I was there. He had no idea what was going on. He got out the oil, and I couldn't see him, but he has told me about it and other folks. He got out the oil, and you know, our normal procedure is just to anoint our hands or fingers and anoint you. That's just the way that we go about anointing, and praise the Lord. And he started to do that. He stopped, laid his microphone down, and poured his oil, his hands full of oil. And he came back to me, and the only words that I heard him say, he just started taking that oil, rubbing it around my bottom jaw. Why my bottom jaw? That's not the way we anoint folks. I hope you let me pray for you. I'm not going to rub oil on your jaw. That's not the procedure. Amen? He rubbed that oil on my bottom jaw, and the only thing I heard him say, he just kept saying, Jesus. Oh, glory! I mean right that second. I don't mean when he got done. I don't mean when I got home. I mean right that second. It quit hurting completely. There was no more pain there. It just felt good. Right then, immediately, every bit of the pain was gone. Oh, glory! Now, remember, it was still wired shut, of course. And I had a lot to say. Been building up a few months. And, of course, I was hungry, too. We got in the van and started back to Illinois. My wife was driving. I was sitting there in the passenger side, going down the road. I felt something in my mouth. I'd done what you would have done. I opened my mouth. I said I opened my mouth to see what it was. And when I did, there was a great big blob ball of metal wires laying in my hand. Did I tell you what we prayed for? That the Lord would take away my pain. Did I tell you what he did? He took away my pain. But did you hear what the pastor read? Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly, above all that we ask or think according to the power that worketh in us. My friend, I never asked for that. I never even thought about that. That my wires would just fall out of my mouth. But there they were, laying in my hands. Oh, I was trying to see them. I was looking at them. And I just went like this so my wife could see them. Because I was feeling and I was looking. And my wife was driving. Now, y'all remember I just told you how much faith that the Lord gave her. Amen? That she was willing to sign the paper, I'll be liable for his death and take me to church. Glory! She forgot she had all that faith. She looked at those wires and she said, Lord, have mercy, Doug. That doctor's going to kill you. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding, abundantly, above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. I'm so glad that I've got Jesus. Aren't you glad you've got Jesus tonight? If you ain't got Jesus, you don't know what you're missing. You don't know what tomorrow holds. You better get him while the getting's good. Amen. Oh, glory. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. My friends, tonight, I'm happy. One of my favorite songs in the hymnal is page 318. You ask me why I'm happy, so I'll just tell you why. Because my sins are gone. Glory! I'm happy tonight, friends. I'm not depressed. I'm not even discouraged. Come on now! Because Jesus gave me peace. I'd explain it to you, but it wouldn't help. It's a peace that passeth all understanding. And now, my friend, I like to think about what the Lord did in my jaw. Because let me tell you that whenever we drove back to Illinois, the next morning we went back over to Missouri to the doctors because my good wife of faith wouldn't let me eat anything. She said, we believe the Lord gave you a miracle, Doug, but we don't want you to bite down on something and it'd be worse than it was. So let's wait and let the doctor tell you. And so I was outside of the van, leaned against the van there, waiting for the doctor to get to his office early in the morning. And she said, there he is. And I held out my wires, opened my mouth and smiled so he could see. I wanted him to see. He said, let's go get x-rays. My mom came and my wife was sitting there in the room, and you may know what I'm talking about, where they have a lighting thing where they put x-rays in so you can read the x-rays. You know what I'm speaking of? He put three x-rays there. He said, now, this first x-ray is the day of your accident. You can see your jaw is crushed. It's broken many times. He said, this next x-ray is when you was here last week, and you can see it's still crushed. Every break is still there. He said, let me explain to you something about medical science. Whenever you break a bone, many, many years after that bone has grown back together, x-rays will show exactly where the break was. He said, folks, this is the x-ray I took this morning, and this jaw has never been broken. He said, in my professional opinion, someone has given you a brand new jaw. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Somebody give him a praise, because he is able. He is well able. The doctors say there's no hope. You feel like there's just no hope. I've got good news for you. You've got Jesus. You've got hope. Amen. Hey. Maybe I ought to find it. I want to say it just right. The Lord just brought it to my mind. It's for somebody here. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord, you know what He just did, Pastor? He just dropped a handful on purpose. Somebody right here tonight. Come on now. Come on now. Who satisfieth thy mouth with good things, so that thy youth is renewed like the eagle. The Lord executeth righteousness and judgment for all that are oppressed. Oppressed is not possessed. Possessed is when you have given yourself over to the devil. And as my preaching brother, what did you call them? The little devils? Those evil spirits, demonic as they're referred to, demonic forces, possess your being! Oppressed is when the devil is fighting with everything he can with those same evil spirits wanting to possess you, wanting to stop you. And oh, my friend, Jesus is your help. Let's all stand. Let's all stand. Oh, my friend, I don't know you. I don't know your situation, but I have come with good news tonight. Jesus is beautiful for your situation. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised in the city of our God, in the mountain of His holiness. Beautiful for situation. He's beautiful for your situation. Well, preacher, you don't know where I've been. You don't know what I... You're right. And that's not important. What's important is that Jesus Christ freely gave His life upon the cross. His blood was shed. And there's power in that blood. And in the blood of Jesus, all sin is cleansed. Everything. My friend, this is the night that the Lord is calling for you. No man can come unto the Father except he be drawn. You can't get saved whenever you get ready to. That's a very foolish thing that the devil puts in good folks' minds that have every intention of getting saved down the road. Brother, you can't get saved when you want to. That's not what it's about. It's when the Lord draws you. It's when He gets ready. I feel the Holy Ghost so strong right here tonight. The Lord is ready to save you. Would you come and let Him save you? Come and let Him save you. Oh, what a privilege it is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Would you step out of your pew right now?